29. And the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy like they're doing today. Yea, and have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And this is God talking. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I what?
Found none.
Found none. Therefore, because I found no man to stand in the gap, therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them and have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. So in the passage, because there was no man to stand in the gap, God poured his wrath out. Y'all understand that? That's pretty simple. So the wrath I would put over here. And we've done this many times. And this would be the wrath that's going to come on this earth. And we call it the time of Jacob's trouble. But before the wrath comes, then there must be a gap. Right? I mean, he sought for a man to stand in the gap, couldn't find none, therefore the wrath comes. What Isaiah said. Now, turn with me and let's look at this thing in Ephesians. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's, we don't duke it out. We don't fight one another physically. I mean, there are some people that you'd like to. And I'm sure there are some people that would like to belt me. But we don't do that. That's not our warfare. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because your battle is not physical, but spiritual, you've got to have something to protect you. Now, if it was physical, you could protect yourself. You pick up a 2x4 or something. But anyway, it's not. So he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, get you a sign and go out on the street and pick it. That ain't what it says, is it? Protest? No. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that wicked is back in verse 12, the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the demoniac forces, the evil spirits, that cause people to do what they do, that might influence their minds of this wicked world, this evil world that we live in, that aggravates and frustrates and the child of God that's in this world. Hang on to Ephesians and look in Galatians. Just turn back a book in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, notice in verse 3, Galatians 1:3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present, what kind of world? Evil world, according to the will of God our and our Father. This is God's will is to deliver you from this evil world, and he gives the armor of God that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in the evil day. And that evil day is upon us. And it's a day where we're not suffering physically. We don't get burned at the stake for believing the King James Bible like they did in the first century, or our heads chopped off like the Apostle Paul. I don't know many people, but there have been people in other countries that suffered like that and had their heads cut off and were stoned and killed. Missionaries have been slayed in the other countries, thrown in prison for the Word of God. But you don't see that here. But our battle, our suffering as children of the Lord, we suffer mentally, we suffer spiritually, and we suffer frustrations and aggravations, and the demoniac forces of this evil world causes people to do things that they don't think is nothing wrong, but what their actions, it affects other people and gets them discouraged and gets the body of Christ down, and it's just one dart after another. And that's the time that we're living in. And if you don't have the armor of God on you, you're going to be hurting. Now I'm telling you. And a lot of people come and they begin to believe the Bible rightly divided, and they begin to stand for the truth, and then the persecutions come and the darts start flying, and if they're not really rooted and grounded, they're going to be taken off because they can't stand it. And there's a lot of people that's came and they're not here today because of that. And the dead god of this world has got them out in pipe dreams and everything else. And you hear people talking, well, I can get these to do this and these. Listen, the Bible says, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean spirit. He that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity and idolatry. God said, come out and depart and be separate from this evil world. Because you can't change this world. You can only stand in the world and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said that you're to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for you to dedicate your life to the Lord. He said it's your reasonable service. But when you do, you might as well expect the powers, the spiritual wickednesses in high places, the demoniac forces to come against you as a member of the body of Christ to try to stop you and destroy your testimony and stop you from getting the gospel out and try to keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace that we live. And I see it over and over and over, and I see it more today than I have ever seen it. You need to be strong. Now I want to talk to you now. Look at this passage. Go back, he said in verse, he said, take the whole arm, verse 13. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, where do you get truth at? Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, notice in verse 17. John 17, verse 17. In John chapter 17, verse 17, he said, sanctify them. And the word sanctified, set apart, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Where you get truth at? In the word. Look back with me to Psalms. Turn to Psalms 100. And notice in Psalms 100, and we're coming back to Ephesians, so keep you... finger there. In Psalms 100. Notice what he said. The law, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. God has truth for every generation. That truth is the word of God. And that truth, while you're there in Psalms, just turn on back there to Psalms 12. In Psalms chapter 12. In Psalms chapter 12, notice what he said in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're pure. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And folks, you see in that today. Do you know who the heroes are for your children are? If you don't train them better, that's some sports figure. You know, when I was a, you know who the heroes used to be when you come up? It was your dad. You wanted to be like your dad. You wanted to be strong like your dad. Now children have these Hollywood idols and all these people out there, drugs and everything else and all kinds of vices, and they say, that's my hero. I mean, we're going down in this country, and we're going fast, and the homes are being destroyed, and Satan's attack against the body of Christ and against the people of God, and trying to kill the influences and the testimonies. Folks, you got to stand. And how, what do you stand with? You stand with the Word of God. That's the only thing you got physically that you can put your hands on that came from God Almighty. He preserved that book. They're pure words, and He preserved them for the English-speaking people to get His word out. And the reason why the United States was a great nation is because the United States copied and printed the King James Bible and sent it all over the world. But in the early 1900s, they rebelled against the King James. And folks, we've been going downhill ever since 1901 or 1889 when the RSV came out and all of these other versions come out. And now the King James Bible is like a dinosaur. It's almost extinct. We're not standing with that book. And God ain't honoring it. And I think about this, how can we stand against the wild attacks that's coming against it while we stand with this book? Look what he said. Having your loins girt about with truth. Having it wrapped up in truth. And you know whose truth that is? That's His truth. It's not the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, all these, or any other denomination. It's His truth. Notice also, He said, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, what is that gospel? Christ died for your sins and was buried, and God raised Him the third day. That's the gospel of peace. That's what brings peace to the man. That's His truth. That's His gospel. You talk to people today, they don't even know what the gospel is. Churches are filled with people today, and they don't have a clue what Jesus Christ did for them. Ask God in your life every day for you to live a better person and end up in burning in hell. I mean, listen to me, folks. God ain't interested in your good works. You don't have any. I don't have any. God's interested in what I did with His Son. The good news is not Brian is a good man and so I'm going to let him into heaven. The good news is not, yay, he does good works, he was baptized, he joined Charity Bible Church, and because he goes to Charity Bible Church, I'm going to let him in heaven. No, you'll burn in hell. The good news is that God provided for you and for me a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was His Son, and His Son went to a cross, and God made Him to be my sin on that cross, and if I'll believe that and trust that, I can have eternal life. That's the good news. And I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret about it. Well, folks, if you've got that, if you prepared, that's a weapon. That, you know, these armor here, all of them's for defense. Notice also, he said, you have loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14. And I jumped to 15, but I didn't mean to skip the breastplate of righteousness. You know whose righteousness that is? That's His righteousness. I don't have any right. The Bible says that my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. That's His righteousness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21, he talks about His righteousness. And it's the gift of righteousness. It's something that God gives to you. It's something that God imputes to you. It's something that God puts to your account. What is that? Jesus Christ is righteousness. God took my unrighteousness and put them on His Son, and He imparted my unrighteousness to Him. God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of Him. It's His righteousness. You'll notice also he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. You know whose faith that is? That's His faith. My faith might, I might quit believing. I might get to the place where I don't believe anymore. My faith might fail me. But His faith never fails. Why, in Galatians 2:6 and Philippians 3:9, Romans 3:22 talks about we're justified by His faith, not our faith. Then he goes on, he said, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Do you know whose salvation it is? It's His salvation. And it's a helmet. It's a no-so salvation. It's something that you know. And then it takes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the only armor that is for offense. The rest of it's defense. But it's not your sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. He's the one that has the sword. And so we have the Word of God, And as we teach and preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit takes them words that comes out of our mouth, if they're in accordance to His Word, and He uses the sword. That's why when sometimes you hear people say, "Boy, you stepped on my toes today." I didn't. That's the Holy Spirit. That's why people thought, "Man, how did he know?" You come to church sometime and the preacher mentions the very thing and you realize, "Oh no, how did he know that?" I didn't. It's the Spirit. For instance, turn to 1 Corinthians. Hang on there and look back in 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, notice what he said in verse 24. He's talking about if everybody in here was up one time speaking in tongues and jibber jabbers and all this stuff, and people come in back there and they say, "Man, this church is mad." They would. And he's trying to straighten them out. Look what he said in verse 23. "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're all mad?" Well, of course they would. It'd be mass confusion in here. Look what he said in verse 24. "But if all prophecy, and there come in one that believeth not, and one of unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged of all." And verse 25 is my verse. "And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." You know how you know when the Spirit of God is working? It's when the secrets of your heart are made manifest and you didn't know nobody knew. I've had people say, "Man, I needed that." That's the sword of the Spirit. Now back in Ephesians. "Above all, taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always." Now back in Ezekiel, we read that because he couldn't find the man to stand in the gap. Well, what gap's he talking about? Well, let's look at some things about it. Now, you've got the picture of this man. Turn with me to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, notice in verse 14. Verse 14. "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it and was displeased, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate." Remember Ephesians, the breastplate of righteousness. "And as a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with the zeal as a cloak." You'll notice verse 20, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord." That's his second coming over here, and he's going to establish the kingdom and going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But when he comes back, he's coming back with wrath. Do you know who that is there, standing there as an intercessor? He put on the righteousness as a breastplate. He found no man, so he got a man. He created a man to stand in the gap. You see the two parallels here? That man is the body of Christ, folks. You find back here, Matthew, you find at the end of Matthew, they nail him to the cross. And then you have the book of Acts, you have the 12 going out to the nation Israel and offering them and preaching the gospel of the circumcision concerning this kingdom over here. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "This is that which is spoken of Joel the prophet. Sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood. There'd be signs and wonders in the heavens, and the stars would fall and all that." That's over here. Peter says, "This that you see happening here is what Joel prophesied was going to happen, and it will happen over here, but Peter says it's happening here." And so they're looking for this right here. And you'll notice that when Jesus Christ, He died, He's buried, and He's resurrected, and He goes out, and where does He go? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? Look with me and take Acts and look in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. God has a man standing in the gap, and Ezekiel said, because there was no man, therefore the wrath came. God created a man, and therefore the wrath hadn't come. Look in there in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, notice Stephen's preaching. Verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did." Come down to verse 55. "But he being full of the Holy Ghost," Stephen, "looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Turn with me and look in Psalms 110. In Psalms 110. Alright, in Psalms 110, notice what he says. Psalms 110. And also, this will be out. I'll just use this one. Verse 1. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." In other words, he was to sit at the right hand of the Father under what? Huh? He was to sit until something, right? Whenever the time was he to make his enemies his footstool, until I make your enemies the footstool, you're to sit there. When that time comes, you're to stand up. Well, look back in Acts. You find him there. Jesus said there, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand." Now, go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Notice in Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah 3 verse 13. Isaiah 3:13. "The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." I'm telling you, in Acts chapter 7, when they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, the Lord stands. Why does He stand? He's going to judge His people. Here. But He didn't do that. Something, the wrath of God never came. He never made His enemies His footstool. So you have here God stopping this prophetic calendar, and there is a gap in between prophecy, and that gap has a man in it, and that man is the Lord. That man is the body of Christ, those that are saved. And Paul said, put on that armor, and when you put on that armor, you don't see yourself, the world sees the Lord Jesus. Because all of the armor is His armor. It's His righteousness. It's His salvation. It's His gospel. It's His word. It's His sword. And they would see the Lord, and the devil don't want the world to see the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the gap. That's He. He's the one that's holding the wrath. And therefore, because He's standing there, the Lord, the wrath don't come. But when He removes Himself, the body of Christ is gone. There's no man to stand in the gap. Therefore, the judgment falls. Now, one of these days, this man is going to be taken out of the way. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Do y'all see that? I think it's simple. I hope I made it where you can. In 2 Thessalonians, notice what he said. Remember ye not, verse 5, he's talking about the man of sin. Well, let's go back to verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, and he's going to be revealed, and he's the Antichrist, and he might be already walking around, running for office, as far as I know, or something. But I imagine the devil's got one ready right now. Because to see this right in here is a mystery. Not revealed in Scripture. Nobody don't know about it. It wasn't wrote down. This back here, prophecy. This over here, prophecy. But this gap, mystery. And you know something? Acts chapter 9, Paul, God saves Paul and sends him out with the gospel of the grace of God. And in that gospel, he's forming that man, new man, new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And it's the one man of Ephesians. Now look with me. He talks about the Antichrist, verse 4, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let unto he be taken out of the way. Well, that word let hindereth, it restrains. That's what it said. It's a good old English word. They play tennis and you hear a ball comes going and it hits the net. And let. That net restrained it. Hold it back. That's what this guy here is doing. He can't be revealed in his time until this is gone. And that's us, folks. And that's what God's doing today, is putting together a body. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to close. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he said in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect what? Man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Well, folks, that new man, verse 13, that perfect man, is the man that's standing in the gap. Now, you want to know how I know that? When Jesus Christ died, we died with Him, right? We were buried with Him, right? Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Whenever Jesus Christ was raised, we died with Him, we were buried with Him, we were raised with Him, and we're seated where? We're seated in heavenly places with Him. But that ain't all. Turn back with me and one other Psalms. While He was in the heart of the earth, folks, there was something that was created down there. Now that plan, that mystery was not wrote down. But you will find the likeness of it right here. Not the mystery, but you listen to this. Now they use this, but you listen to what it said. Verse 13. For thou, in Psalms 139, did I not tell you the psalm? Psalms 139. For thou, verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now we had no doubt about where that's at. It's talking about a child in the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now that's a child. But verse 15, now you listen to it. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in where? Now your mama didn't go down into the middle of the earth to form you. Did you see that? Something was made in secret. Something was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And whatever it was my substance. And it's like being formed in a mother's womb. Verse 13 and 14. And then he changes and said, this that was formed in the mother, that's what he's talking. It's like that. Something was marvelously made in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being what? Was you one time unperfect? Sure was. And in thy book, all my members. Where do you find members at in the book? Paul, talking about the members of what? Of the body. And all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. They wasn't seen, they wasn't there, but they were fashioned when they were before they even come into existence and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I'm telling you, that's the one man of Ephesians 3. It's the Lord in Isaiah 59. And we're to put on the whole armor of God because we are the man, Christ Jesus, that's standing in this gap and keeping the wrath of God off us. This world and the stupid world don't even know that. They think we're crazy. Fanatics. Now, folks, that's something there. You see, folks, when Jesus Christ went down into the lowest parts of the earth, He formed something. And every member of that body, whenever He came up, they came up with Him. And He says in Ephesians chapter 4, He quotes Psalms, He led the captivity captive. And that's the body of Christ. Aren't you glad? I'm already there. Well, are you? Are you saved? Are you in that body? Are you standing in the gap? Or are you one of those that just, I don't care? Well, don't get that way. Folks, it ain't going to be long before that man is removed. I mean, things is, you know, you say, well, you've been saying that for years. You've been preaching that for 30 years. Well, we're 30 years closer than we was when I first started preaching it. So, He's coming. And this man's going to be took out of this world. And whenever he took shot, is taken out, there'll be no more gap. There'll be no more man. And what's that next verse say in Ezekiel? Therefore, the wrath falls. It's a funny thing, and it'll go back to here and take up where it left off here over there with the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and 144,000 evangelists preaching the gospel of the kingdom and baptizing and getting people ready and preparing them for the coming of the Lord. And they're going to take Hebrews through Revelation over here, and they're going to take the book of Revelation, and they're going to say, wow, that's what's happening. You see, the book of Revelation is not for us to read and look into the future, because you can't figure it out. The book of Revelation is wrote for these people that's here to take that book and say, this is what's happened, like Peter did back here. This is that. And he wrote it for us. This is coming next. And prepare them to meet the Antichrist and go through it. Well, you know what the Bible says about us? We're delivered from the wrath to come. That one man. All right. Shake hands.